In a world where podcasts have become lame and stale.
And now we see on line 33 of the Louisiana tax code that
two men have come to kick it up a notch.
And you see these tax code laws are in place. Like, who the hell are you?
Ben Heckendorf.
Tell me where the president's dog is.
I will never tell you where the president's dog is.
Tell me or I'll shoot you in the foot.
Never!
Jason Jones.
What the hell is that?
It's a giant asteroid, man. Headed directly toward Earth.
How much time is left to stop it?
One day.
That's six more than I need.
From the internet that brought you a dancing baby and spyware comes the BenHeck.com podcast. On a good day, it's a great podcast. On a bad day, it's the best there is.
Hello and welcome again to the BenHeck.com podcast, episode 57. I am Ben Heckendorn.
This is Jason Jones.
Yes, and today's amazing topics that we just pulled out of our butts are going to be... Crap, I forgot already. Oh, the Oscars and DLC and food.
Apparently.
So what's new in the gaming world this last 2 weeks?
I don't know. Apparently they're coming out with a red Xbox or something.
Oh, for Resident Evil
5. So...
That's pretty cool, I guess, sort of.
It was kind of... It's because isn't an Elite, like, normally $400 anyways?
Oh, it's an Elite?
Yeah, it's an Elite, and it comes with Resident Evil 5, and it's got, like, the Street Fighter 2 HD Turbo Remix, blah, 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 whatever. That's all in it, and it's still, like, $400.
Oh.
So
it's like a combo deal.
You get a couple of games, and, yeah.
I wonder if it kind of looks like that red controller I got. Maybe that was like the...
I think so, because it's got a red controller, and it looks just like that one, so...
So it's like the blood of Resident Evil or something?
Something like that.
Okay.
Is this thing actually recording?
I don't think you had...
Monitor wasn't on.
Right. Well, I'm sure people are going to rush out and get that.
I guess somebody will. Limited quantities. I'm sure it'll sell as good as that Halo-themed one did.
Was that well?
Well, I was being kind of facetious.
Oh. Well, yeah. I guess there really hasn't been much gaming news. I guess a couple of games have come out in the last 2 weeks, such as Street Fighter and The Lost and Damned, which would kind of go with the DLC topic.
Yeah. There's something, too, where Microsoft, apparently, they're buying some Israeli company or something that does, like, they make some motion-sensing camera, and it's just, like, a camera, but basically you can interact with it and do all this crazy shit, and it's supposed to be, like, way more responsive than, you know, like, the Wiimote or the Vision camera or the iToy or whatever the hell that thing is.
Oh, yeah, didn't they say that you'd, like... have your own tennis racket and swing it around.
Yeah. So, you can see all sorts of destruction happening that way. I think the biggest problem with any of this stuff is that, like, if you're going to have games that do this stuff, it's like, you're always going to have to be conscious of what you're doing while you're playing the game. Like, if you're standing there or sitting there or whatever, and there's this camera that you're interacting with, every move of your arms or legs or whatever, your body, is going to be picked up on by this thing, and the game is going to, you know, do something with that information. Whereas with a game where you have a controller, you can kind of, like, you know, take a break for a few seconds, whatever. I just don't see this shit taking off.
It's like the difference between a radio play and a stage play.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, the Wii apparently has taken off.
Well, the hardware has. And then Mario Kart has apparently sold well. I still don't count Wii Play or Wii Sports, although I suppose Wii Sports, you know, technically probably should be counted because it's the reason why people are buying the system, because they pretty much don't buy much of anything else other than that.
But this is kind of the problem I have with the Wii is that, I know we've talked about this a trillion times, but these other companies are going to get on the bandwagon, and it's just a race to the bottom.
Yep, it's already happening. EA's announced they're going to make, like, a Dead Space game for it.
I saw a preview for that. It actually didn't look too bad.
Yeah, well, we'll see the finished product.
And look at television. I mean, half of television is like Dancing with the Stars idol, and it's just bullshit.
Yeah.
And it's only going to get worse.
But it's cheap, just like Wii games are cheap to make.
Will there be any art left after the recession? Film at 11.
Dead.
Let's see. Well, I've been playing Street Fighter 2, The Lost and Damned, and
Street Fighter 4, you mean?
Right. And then that Far Cry disc you lent me.
Ah, yes.
That one's pretty cool. I'll beat them all eventually.
And I beat Fable 2, I guess. So that's about all I've done.
And you got the Knothole Island DLC.
Yes. I played Left 4 Dead, and I thought it kind of sucked. But that's just me.
Did you buy it or
no? I got it from GameFly, but it—I don't know—it feels like a big step backwards compared to other games that are out there now, as far as like the actual controls and gameplay. Like you can't do any sort of targeting or anything like that. And I mean, I guess I can understand that to a point, 'cause, you know, a lot of times you'll have like 15 zombies, so aiming really doesn't matter that much. But this is one of those things where it's like a reflex from playing all these FPS games over the years that you go and hit the left trigger and you expect it to target, but instead it... I can't remember what the hell it does in that game, but nothing useful.
Yeah, it... I think it's overrated. You know, people are like, oh, it's the best multiplayer game of the year. It's like, come on.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. I thought Team Fortress 2 wiped its ass with it myself, but...
Really? See, I didn't really care for that one either.
Yeah, but... I actually liked that one. It was kind of fun with the class-based stuff and kind of more cartoonish. But, yeah, other than that, nothing much, I don't think.
Well, we could go right into the DLC
sure.
topic then, I guess, since we've been talking about it. Okay, so I think we've already complained about the Operation Anchorage on here two weeks ago.
Then, yeah, Fable 2, I downloaded the Knothole Island add-on, and it's kind of cool, but it's really short. They probably should have called it Not Long Island, but they chose not to, I guess, because they wanted my money.
It's not quite as catchy.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it literally, like, there's only... Basically, you go to the island, and there's, like, all these, like, weird weather events are going on. Like, you get there, and it's, like, all snowy, and the rivers are iced over, and people are freaking out, and... So you have to go and... God dang it. So you have to go and, like, you know, look for... There's something buried somewhere or down in some cave, I don't know, that will, like, you know, help heat things up. But then, of course, you do that, and it, you know, goes too far the other way, and they want rain, and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, there's, like, three quests all together, and it literally took me no more than an hour and 45 minutes to beat them. It was probably somewhere...
And that was $10.
Yeah, $10. And the three missions were all very similar. They were basically, once you did the first one, you knew exactly what was coming at you with the next two. And they added, like, there's a whole bunch of costumes and things that you can find. I mean, there's other stuff beyond the quests that you can kind of go around and, you know, look for these items, and there's certain items that are exclusive to Knothole Island that give you new abilities. They kind of addressed, I think, some of the complaints people had with the regular game from what I'd heard. Like, there was... Like, if you drink too much and eat too much, your character will get fat. It's like, well, yeah, that sounds like real life, but I guess it was difficult to get your character to slim down again. Again, just like real life. But when you go to Knothole Island, there's, like, these potion things you can buy that will actually, like, help you slim down, I suppose.
It's like the pills on television.
Yes, or a gastric bypass, I guess. But some of that stuff, I mean, it's kind of neat, and there's the store you can go to, and it's, like the, is the Book of Secrets? I think it's called, like, the Book of Secrets or something, but, there's, like, 10 items in there, I think, and you don't buy them with money, and you don't know what you're getting, like, they're wrapped up like gifts, and you have to, like, give them, you know, two premium necklaces or something to get this one item, and then it's usually something kind of cool that you get. But the coolest feature of the download, probably, which made me consider it to not be a complete waste of money, and I will say, spoiler warning, if you haven't played the game and you give a shit, and, you know, probably skip ahead about a minute, you get to resurrect your dog after you've beaten the game, because when you beat the game, there's like three different choices you get, and one of them is you get to be, you know, the righteous guy and save like thousands of people or whatever else. The second option is you can resurrect your wife and child and dog, or the third option is you're just, you know, all you care about is money and you get a whole boatload of cash. And so I took the righteous path and saved the thousands of people or whatever. And so when I was playing the game after beating it, I didn't have my dog with me, and it was...
What does the dog do normally?
He goes around and he'll, like, find stuff for you to, like, dig up in the ground, and there's usually some interesting things. Sometimes you find good stuff that way. Or, like, there's treasure chests laying around, and sometimes they're not always obvious, but he'll, like, find them for you. Like, he'll bark and kind of lead you to them. And you can upgrade him also. Like, at first he's, like, so-so at finding stuff, but then you find these books, or you buy these books and use them, then his skills get, like, really good. Like, now it's like, I walk about 20 feet and he'll be barking, and it's like, oh, here's something to dig up that we'd walked over, you know, however many times in the past going through the game. But so that was the coolest feature, is being able to do that, and I guess I went past a minute, but...
Oh, well.
But yeah, so that kind of made it worthwhile, because after beating the game and going around and doing some of the other quests afterwards, it was interesting how, like, strong of an attachment you get to that dog in the game, because it's like, once he's not there, you really notice it. Mm. And, because, you know, usually he's, like, right there running out in front of you, or he goes off somewhere and comes back, and he, you know, is barking and whatever, and it was, like, interesting that, you know, the game, without even, you know, without me even really realizing it, you know, got me to, like, form an attachment to it, so.
Hmm. So you can resurrect him in the downloadable content.
Yep. All you gotta do is, like, lure some unsuspecting villager into, like, the shrine thing, and then you go outside and pull a lever, and basically you sacrifice them in order to bring your dog back.
Oh, that sounds reasonable.
So you have to kind of, you know, do something bad that hurts your, you know, purity ratings or whatever and stuff like that.
But other than that, you found it kind of short.
Yeah, it's definitely short. It's kind of unfortunate because Not Whole Island was kind of cool, but it just was done very quickly. And it would have been nice if it would have been, like, if it would have been, like, 3 hours or something, I probably would have been fine with that, I think.
How long was the normal game?
I'm trying to think how long it took me. It was probably something like 20 hours, maybe, like 15 to 20.
Meaty.
Yeah, not too bad. It does end pretty rapidly, though, once you get to the end, which is just kind of...
The main game?
Huh?
You mean the main game?
Yeah, the main game. It was just kind of like, I didn't realize that all of a sudden, oh, okay, I guess I'm on the final quest, okay. And then, like, boom, oh, I'm done, okay. Well, but then at least you get to keep playing, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't, if somebody asked me, you know, like, to if they should buy it, I probably wouldn't recommend it, unless your dog's dead and you really want him back.
Yeah, I would say the same thing about Operation Anchorage. It was just so short. I mean, I know it's only $10, but...
Yeah.
If you think about it in the terms of, like, let's say it's a 20-hour game and it's, you know, $60 and that's like $3 an hour.
Yeah.
And, yeah, if you only get, like, not even 2 hours out of it, that's not really $10, it's like $6.
Yeah.
Think about it that way. It's doesn't seem like that good of a deal.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so the other day you were, like, download The Lost and Damned, because I wasn't actually going to.
You weren't?
No, no. I mean, if I was going to do it, I would have done it on Tuesday. But I think it was like when Lost was on.
Yeah.
And then you're like, because we can talk about DLC for a podcast. And I'm like, okay. And anyway, I've been playing through that, and it's fairly lengthy.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, Microsoft paid Rockstar, like, what, $50 million for exclusivity? So I guess one could say that it's been subsidized in a way.
Yeah.
But hey.
Yeah,
I mean, I think, oh, God, it's either 6 or 7 hours I have in it so far, because it basically plays like a whole different game. And
yeah.
It's pretty meaty, and you've got a new main character, there's new weapons, there's new radio stations. Well, no, there's not new stations, there's new songs and commercials and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
Nice.
I mean, it's the same old Grand Theft Auto stuff, but it certainly gives you far more than twice the gameplay of, like, Operation Anchorage.
Yeah.
It's a lot more than twice the gameplay at only twice the cost.
Yeah, basically, you got a whole new game for $20 is pretty much the way to look at it.
Yeah, I mean,
by the sound of it.
If I had to guess, I'm sure I'll probably have, at about the 12-hour mark, I'll probably have beaten it.
Yeah.
Still, that's a lot better than Fallout, Operation Anchorage, where I literally had not finished my second beer. I was all excited, you know, I'm like, oh yeah! I like woke up right away in the morning and downloaded it. And I'm like, oh, once I'm done with whatever it is I'm doing today, I'll, like, play it, and I went out and I got, like, a 6-pack of beer, and I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah! And then 2 hours later, I'm like, that's it?
Yeah.
Maybe you felt the same way?
Kind of, because, yeah, I beat it, like, I could have beat it in the first night easily, but I just played, like, the first 2 quests, and then the next night I polished it off. Or did I beat it all in one night? I don't know. But it was, yeah, not much time was needed, really. I could... You know, I beat it in the time that you can watch, like, Pineapple Express or most any movie, you know?
Hey, it's but like, a movie costs more than $10.
That's true.
Of course, you can play it again.
Yes. Well, I guess I can play the content again, but...
So, if there's another download thing for Fable 2, will you think twice?
Yes. I will definitely read up on it in advance. I had kind of read up on it anyways. I didn't realize it was that short, but basically I was kind of on the fence, then I heard about the dog thing, and I'm like, well, I will buy this now. So,
yeah, I mean, I didn't read about Fallout. I just, as you know, I love Fallout 3 so much. I'm like, I'll buy anything! Of course, yeah. So the next one's called, like, The Pit, and you're in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I'll read about that more. And if that's closer to 5 hours, I'd probably consider it, but...
I think that's supposed to be more like the actual game, too.
Yeah, that was another, like, that was another thing about Anchorage. It wasn't anything like the game.
Yeah, like the pit thing, it's basically you get, like, a new city to run around in, it sounded like.
And so the level cap is
that,
higher.
That could be... That's not till the third one, I think.
Oh.
Because the third one, I think, is the one that raises the level cap and also makes it so you can play past the end of the game.
Well, even if you look at the size, I mean, I don't know what Knothole Island was, but Anchorage was, it wasn't even 400 megabytes. Whereas Lost and Damned is like about 1.8 gigs. I mean, it's pretty significant.
Yeah, I think Knothole Island was like 550 megs or 600, somewhere right around there.
Hmm. Yeah, so I'm not sure how much longer it's going to take to beat this motorcycle thing, but... Yeah, I wasn't actually going to pick it up, but then, yeah, you suggested it, and then I did. But now I'm like, hey, if they make another one, which I think they probably will, I'll probably pick that up too, because it's pretty good value for $20.
Yeah, I wonder if they will, because I did notice that they did add the full 250 extra achievement points to it. Unless, of course, you know, they make an exception for it like they did for Halo 3, which I suppose is entirely possible.
Well, when I was at Rockstar... And I wanted, my big dream was to have a cameo voice in it, but there just wasn't time because the taxi was already there. They said, quote, maybe we can get you back for one of the episodes.
Mm.
And that was like a couple years ago now, but I distinctly heard them say that.
And I could see for that game that they would, you know, let them keep adding 250 achievement points for each episode. I mean, why wouldn't
they? Oh, why not? I mean, look at Halo. They've added stuff.
Yeah, they let Halo go up to 1,750, so...
What does Not Whole Island have? Like 100?
100, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's room for them to add more, which I wouldn't be surprised if they bring up. They should, but hopefully it's, like, meatier.
Yeah, there's even, like, new TV shows and stuff on that Grand Theft Auto. There's a lot of... Well, an Xbox disc, it's not even a full size of a DVD. I think it's, like, something like 6 or 7 gigs is all it really has.
Yeah, so this is, like, a quarter of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty significant if you think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. The other day, I actually put an Xbox disc in my laptop. I never actually done that before. It comes up like a DVD and gives you that message. You probably knew that.
Yeah. I think I did that once for some reason.
Yeah, because when I was helping Jason with his, if you take a random disc up, Xbox disc drive and put it in an Xbox, it'll play music and DVDs. It just won't play the game.
It just won't play the game.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? You wouldn't think it wouldn't do anything, but... That's so annoying. I wish they didn't have that lockout.
I mean, that's the thing, because it didn't really stop piracy. I mean, there's... plenty of people that figured out how to mod the firmware.
And you have to kind of do a piratey method to get around it anyway. You know, yeah. Change the keys or whatever. I've never actually done it, but kind of sucks. Because sometimes the motherboard will go and the drive won't. And with my brother-in-law is building a Xbox 360 in a Pelican case, just for the listeners. And he did a pretty good job, except for his DVD drive appears to have failed, which is too bad because everything else was working fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, so DLC, I mean, I download a lot of stuff. Like, you know, we had, like, Castle Crashers and whatnot, and, of course, Rockman songs. But, yeah, it's weird. Some sort of, would you say maybe if you have to spend twice as much to get twice as much, how do I put this? $20 is twice as much as $10, but if it gets you a lot more, it's definitely worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's so easy to blow $10. Like, you had a Culver's bag. I mean, that would have been, like, close to $7.
That was $6-something, yeah. So.
But then, or, like, my beer. I bought, like, a 12-pack of beer or whatever it was. Yeah, it was a 12-pack when I was playing Fallout because I was so excited. And I'm like, oh, this sucks. And then I'm thinking, well, you know what? I think nothing of blowing $10 on a 12-pack of beer.
Yeah.
But then the other little angel on my shoulder was like, yeah, but you only drank two of them in the time it took you to beat this game.
Yeah.
So technically you're getting more value out of that.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know, there's just lots of ways to look at things. And
yeah.
That was kind of a general statement.
Yeah, I don't know. They should... Yeah, I think, like, Not Whole Island probably should have been, like, $5. You know, it's like... It was cool, but it was, you know, over pretty goddamn fast.
Well, a lot of that Oblivion stuff was less than $10, like Knights of the Nine and stuff. Was that $10 or $6 or?
I think Knights of the Nine was $10. I never got any of it, but. And then Shivering Isles was $30.
Yeah. See, for some reason, I just had a feeling that Lost and Damned was going to be $30, but it wasn't. Shivering Isles was obviously quite the expansion.
Yeah.
See, I'd rather pay $30 for something like that than $10 for something that's going to disappoint me.
Yeah.
it's weird how that works. Yeah. All right, well, anything else you want to say about DLC, or shall we move on .org?
That's okay.
Okay. So, next topic, the Oscars.
What about them?
I don't know. We watched them the other night.
Yes.
It seems like there's never any surprises anymore with the winners, would you say?
Yeah, for the most part. I was, like, the only one that was even remotely surprising, and it wasn't even much of a surprise because everything I had read said they were in a dead heat with Sean Penn winning for Milk. It was pretty much like a toss-up between him and Rourke. But, I mean, yeah, like, everything pretty much went according to plan. But then again, it's only been a couple of years since Crash... you know, surprised everybody and won Best Picture.
What did Crash win against?
Brokeback Mountain was, like, the big one that, you know, it won for.
Actually, I haven't seen any of those movies. Crash is, like, there's a crash or something in Los Angeles and, like, racism. Isn't that what it's about?
Yeah, it's one of those movies where, you know, you've got, like, a bunch of different characters, you know, all in their own lives, but then they all kind of are seemingly connected in some way throughout... You know, kind of like an Altman movie or like...
By a Crash?
Well, let's see. The Crash happens, And, yeah, some of them are involved in that. I think it's, like, Crash, you know, is supposed to be, like, a metaphor for, you know, like, these people of all different backgrounds, you know, being forced into situations together. I mean, there is a car crash in it, but
I get it.
You know, it's like, because, like, Matt Dillon, he's, like, this ridiculously racist cop, and then, but then he's at the scene of the accident that happens, I think, or whatever, and I haven't seen it in quite a while, but that there was, like, nothing subtle about that movie at all, and it...
It seems like, I mean, of all, like, the movies that have, you know, like, movies like Gladiator and A Beautiful Mind aren't necessarily looked well upon, but it seems like that one's, like, the one that just burns people up that it won.
Yeah, it really was, like, a Lifetime movie, almost. I mean, it's just...
It's pretty cheesy.
Yeah, and there's just... Nothing subtle. I mean, literally, like, every scene, it's pretty much like you're getting clubbed over the head by somebody, you know, saying, racism is bad. Oh, here, you didn't figure that out from the last clubbing? Here, racism is bad. And it just, it's like, ugh.
Hmm.
I mean, it wasn't a horrible movie, but I think the fact that it won Best Picture, you know, makes people, like, loathe it. Like, people didn't really mind it, I think, but then it won Best Picture, and people are just like, well, fuck this. You know, and...
You think there'll be a backlash on Slumdog Millionaire?
I don't think so.
I mean, it's a damn good movie, but... Well, I think the thing that was kind of cool about it winning was it's not even like a true story.
Yeah.
It has no political overtones at all.
No stars.
Yeah, it's
it
just
was
like...
cheap to make.
It's just like a feel-good movie.
Yeah.
That's rated R for some reason.
Yeah, it was interesting. Like, a guy I work with the other day... We were talking about the Oscars, and he was like, oh, did you see Slumdog Millionaire? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, I haven't seen it yet. And he's like, I heard it's kind of depressing. And I'm like, well, it's a really weird movie, because it's like, yeah, there's a lot of depressing shit in it, but somehow, when it's all said and done, it's a strangely uplifting movie. you know, it somehow hits, like, all these levels very effortlessly, I would say, and... Yeah, I mean, out of the movies that were nominated, I thought that it... Well, I guess it's the only one I saw, but...
It's the only one anyone saw. Well, except for Benjamin Button.
Well, it's the only one I cared to see, which I guess says something. I guess I want to see Frost Nixon, but not enough to go to the theater. But, you know, I definitely thought it deserved to win out of what was up there. And, but yeah, like... I think a big part of the thing, too, with Crash was that it beat Brokeback Mountain, which I don't think deserved to be Best Picture either, but everybody just viewed it as, oh, well, people wouldn't vote for the gay movie, so, you know, they voted for Crash to win just because. And I'm like, okay, so there was some grand conspiracy...
In Hollywood
that resulted in Crash winning the Oscar over Brokeback Mountain because they didn't want to vote... For a gay movie, although now 2 years later or whatever, like, Sean Penn wins Best Actor for Milk, and, you know, they didn't have any problem voting for him playing a gay man.
Well, the conspiracy is just BS.
Well, I know
it is, but Crash is, like, in Los Angeles, right? So it's like,
yeah.
Oh, I live in Los Angeles. I'll vote for this movie. I don't live in Wyoming or Montana or wherever Brokeback Mountain took place.
Yeah. Like, I think The Prestige should have won that year.
Really?
Because that movie kicks ass.
Oh, it didn't have Nikola Tesla in it. And Hugh Jackman.
That's right. That's like one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah, the Oscars was like pretty svelte, like just over 3 hours, wasn't it?
I think they managed to bloat it out a bit for the last few awards. Because at 10:30, they were down to just like best actor, actress, and movie. But they somehow stretched that into a half hour. But still, compared to any Oscar show in recent memory, it was
pretty
light on its
feet. It's probably the first time I've watched it in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the ones where they were, like, clocking in at, like, 4 hours and 15 minutes and shit like that, and it was just ridiculous. And but I thought Hugh was, like, an awesome host. I hope they have him back again. I mean, he didn't get to do a whole hell of a lot after the opening, but just for the opening... I thought that was awesome. And I guess he got to do that other, like, song and dance number in the middle. I thought it was interesting that, you know, they chose to take advantage of his stage background. And he's, like, I think he's won a Tony in the past, like, a couple of years ago or something. I know he's hosted the Tonys, like, 3 times. But he's an awesome actor anyways, and it was kind of nice to see them, you know, have an actor host it instead of some comedian or whatever that kind of acts every now and then.
Or Whoopi Goldberg, who... Is she even a comedian anymore? It's not the 80s, is it?
I don't even know what she is anymore, but... yeah, overall, yeah, the show, it pretty much went according to plan. I mean, Slumdog cleaned house, Wally won, then, like, Kate Winslet won, Heath Ledger won, Penelope Cruz won, like,
yeah,
all the favorites.
I think it was last night, but I was looking at, like, I don't know. Well, there's this cool website, it's called Den of Geek, it's British, so of course they hate Titanic, but other than that, it's pretty cool. And they were, I was looking at an older article, and they were predicting the winners, and they predicted every single one of them right, except for, I think Mickey Rourke, they got that one wrong.
Okay.
But that was a toss-up anyway, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. They should, like, maybe it's getting too predictable, like, how you win.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Well, Slumdog, though, I mean, it came out of nowhere. Like, I hadn't heard shit about that movie until, like, you know, just a few months ago, and it just snuck up and took everybody by surprise, but...
Well, I heard the premise for that movie, and... You can ask Dale. I was one of the first ones that was like, "Hey, we should go see that." I don't know if you remember that, but I just heard the premise. And I thought it sounded good, you know.
Well, yeah, the movie itself. Yeah, I mean, it sounded good, but the thing is, it's like not a. I wouldn't call that your typical Oscar juggernaut.
No.
It was more like what, you know, a dark horse movie would be, or you know the. It was more like what, like, The Wrestler was, I guess, you know, where it was like this little indie movie that managed to, you know, sneak a couple of nominations or whatever, and...
Yeah.
But it somehow managed to become the front runner and
Benjamin
win
Button
eight awards.
Bought its Oscars just by having really expensive special effects and whatnot, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, I know we've gotten... For whatever reason, we were arguing about this the other night, but I think Slumdog probably will outgross it now.
Oh, it probably will. I don't have a doubt about that, but at the point that it won, it hadn't.
Right, but...
Which
is cool.
But I was just happy to see that a movie that people actually had seen won the award instead of some movie like The Reader that has made, like, $20 million, which, yeah, money's not everything, but, you know, it's... There's got to be something said also for people, you know, movies that people actually... went out to see in droves, you know, like...
Right.
Like The Dark Knight. Should it have been nominated? Shouldn't it not have? Who knows? But, I mean, it made over $500 million. People obviously like the movie. And the thing, too, I saw was, like, on Rotten Tomatoes, where they were just trying to figure out how the hell The Reader even got nominated, because everybody pretty much figured that The Reader is the one that knocked Dark Knight out of being nominated. And if you go to Rotten Tomatoes and look up the ratings, like, The Reader has a 60% fresh rating on there.
Really?
Yeah, and Dark Knight's got, like, a 94, and Wally's got, you know, like, a 90-something as well.
I'd read stuff about that movie, not really the reviews, but a lot of people just take issue with its view on the Holocaust or something.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, I mean, it didn't get reviewed well. I mean, not that critics are the end-all, be-all of everything, but you'd kind of expect... if a movie's nominated for Best Picture, that it would have had at least a pretty decent critical reception, but 60% isn't a very good reception, especially when there's movies out there that are up in the 90s
that
don't get nominated.
Actually, Wally and Dark Knight probably had higher ratings than the nominees. Maybe not Slumdog, but...
Probably, or, you know, at least the same. But, yeah, so, I mean... It's kind of... I think that's one of the things, you know, where they complain about the ratings of the Oscars all the time and stuff, although it did go up a bit this year, but it's still, like, the third lowest rated Oscars ever, I guess. But last year's was the worst. And it's like, well, when you keep nominating movies that only make, like, $30 million or $40 million, it's like people... You know, the common man does not give a shit.
I bet the Titanic Oscar broadcast was
probably
successful.
One of the highest rated ones. I think, like, the one with Return of the King was pretty high rated, too. And it's...
I was surprised when that won Best Picture. But you know what? It made tons of money, and it was a good movie. And isn't I know it's not all about money, but if you can make a movie that makes a lot of money and it's also really good, why not?
Yeah.
Isn't that the point? I mean, you look back in time and people are like, oh, Titanic. And it's like, what? It's a damn good movie and it made a shitload of money. Yep. It was the best movie that Hollywood made that year.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like, film like Gladiator, you know, I'm not like a big fan of that movie, but, you know, a lot of people liked it and it made a pretty good amount of money. And why not?
Yeah, exactly. So
this is why I always have to like nominate these, like Saving Private Ryan and
Shakespeare in Love.
Right. What would you say about that toss-up? Because
I've only watched Shakespeare in Love once, but I remember liking it, and
it was good.
I think Saving Private Ryan is supremely overrated, so it's kind of hard to say. What else was out that year? Maybe it wasn't Big Lebowski that year.
No, I think it was 97.
Was it? I don't know. I think Lebowski was that year.
Might have been. I want to say it was the year before, though.
Because I would take Lebowski over either of those movies. Yes, I said it.
Oh, that's all right.
But I mean, I know that's one that people, you know, put out there, too, like, you know, that outrages people, like Crash, you know.
Or like, okay, here's one, Forrest Gump versus Pulp Fiction.
I'd probably take Gump. Like, I think Pulp Fiction's slightly overrated as well.
Yeah, you know, Pulp Fiction made a good amount of money, but it didn't make nearly as much money as Forrest Gump. And, you know, looking back now, people are like, oh, why didn't it win? Just like the Goodfellas Dancing with Wolves thing.
That goddamn thing.
But it's just, you know, when the movie came out, you know, Forrest Gump came out before Pulp Fiction as well. And it was just, I don't know, it was the more Oscar-y movie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you could say the same thing with, yeah, just as I mentioned, Goodfellas. You know, like all these movie geeks are like, oh, Goodfellas is better. And it's like,
screw that.
You know, just because you got a bunch of gangsters swearing at each other profusely for 2 hours and shooting each other, that doesn't necessarily make it a good movie. Like, I don't see why people are just obsessed with this crime shit.
Yeah, I mean,
Dance of Wolves was just a great movie with Battlestar Galactica President Woman in it.
And Costner. Yeah, like right from the beginning of Dance of Wolves, it just kicks ass where he's like, they're trying to save his leg. He's like bleeding all over hell and shit. I mean, it just sucks you in right away. And
I think that's one of the best beginnings in a movie because in that movie, well, so many movies is like, oh, it's got these great scenes or it's got a great ending, but so many movies don't start good enough, too.
Yeah.
And that movie does, with the bloody boot.
Yep.
It's like you see the character at his absolute lowest point, and then also in the movie you see him at his highest point.
Yeah.
It's like you see the entire range.
Yeah, like Goodfellas, it's like I think about that movie, and it's a good movie, but it...
Oh, yeah, I liked it when I saw it.
I just don't get people's fascination with it. Like, for me, there's only, like, a couple of parts of that movie I really remember. It's like... Early on, I think there's, like, the part where they stop by Joe Pesci's mom's house, and they got, like, the guy in the trunk, and he's, like, looking to borrow a shovel from his mom or a knife. I think he borrows a knife so he can go out there and kill the guy or whatever. And then there's, like, this cool steady cam sequence where they follow, like, Leota into this club, and it's a really long shot. And then the end of that movie kicks ass, where... Like, the cops are after him. He's all paranoid. He's, like, making spaghetti and shit at his house. But then he's out, like, trying to transport these drugs and guns and stuff. And it did a really good job of, like, conveying the paranoia of his character. But overall, the movie, I don't know. I'm not a big gangster freaking movie fan anyways. But I don't get what the big deal is about it.
Well, on that same topic, how about Godfather? It's often, if you go on IMDb, what is like,
it's like number two usually. Or something, yeah.
It's a good movie, but it's not that good.
That's one where I used to think it was pretty overrated, but then I remember a year or two ago I watched it again, and I was just like, wow, this movie is goddamn good.
Better than Goodfellas?
Yes. Yeah, I would, without a doubt, say it's better than Goodfellas. It's probably the best... you know, gangster movie made. It's, I mean, I love The Untouchables, but it's probably better than The Untouchables. It's better than Once Upon a Time in America.
And it won Best Picture, so no one should complain. Hell, its sequel won Best Picture.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know, it's...
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to say, like, the MTV People's Choice Awards are valid or anything, because they usually pick some shit, but, you know, I mean, maybe...
Well, I think the Oscars...
You know, maybe it should be more about... I mean, if the Oscar... I'll probably go to hell for saying this. What if, like, on Oscar night, you know, people voted for what they thought was the best movie?
Oscar Idol.
Hey, the ratings would be a lot higher.
Yeah, they would.
And, like, probably The Dark Knight would have won, or...
Yeah.
Yeah, probably
I'm
The
sure
Dark
it would have.
I mean, seriously, like, last year, you think anyone... It made a lot of money, but, like, would anyone have picked Indiana Jones? Probably not. You know...
One thing I think they need to do, and I don't know how they would achieve it, but like after you watch the Oscars, they have those things come up on the screen where they explain the voting process and all that, and they, I think it's like for the live and animated shorts, they say that you have to actually attend a special screening and vote on them.
And
there.
You can only vote on things in your field, usually, except for Best Picture.
That's only for nominations.
Oh.
So, like, only actors, you know, get to choose who's nominated, but then out of the five nominees, then everybody votes on that.
Okay, well, what were you going to say before that, before I interrupted you?
But it's like with the, you know, shorts and stuff, basically what they're doing is they're ensuring that people saw them before they vote on them. And it's like me, I'm sitting here saying, well, yeah, Slumdog should have won, and all that, but I freely admit it's the only one out of the five I saw, and if I were actually, you know, an Academy member and voting on this, I wouldn't feel that I should be able to vote on it because I only saw one of the five movies. How can I...
But don't they all get screener copies? Because that's where a lot of those good bootlegs come from.
They don't necessarily watch them, though. And I guess a lot of, like, Oscar voters, they'll, like, give their kids the ballots to fill out and shit like that.
So you're saying it's a flawed system.
Yes. But it, I don't know.
Maybe Milk actually won, but there are some hanging chads.
Well, there's stuff like when Brokeback Mountain that year, there was like a quote from Ernest Borgnine, you know, saying there was no way in hell he was ever going to watch that movie and he would never, you know, vote for anything from it just because of, you know, its content.
Right.
Which...
Ernest Borgnine is in the Academy?
Yeah.
Okay.
He must have got nominated for something a long time ago, or...
Airwolf?
Probably not. Maybe Poseidon Adventure. I don't know. I think Shelley Winters got nominated.
Wait, so
you
had to be nominated to vote? I thought you just had to be a member.
Well, you become a member by, like... I can't remember what the criteria are. I know if you win an Oscar, you're basically an Academy member for life. Mm. I can't remember... It might be even if you're nominated that you get to be an Academy member. And then I think they let some other people in, you know, just based on achievement or something. I don't know.
Achievement unlocked. Bloop, bloop.
Yes, but yeah, so it just seems like, you know, there's some issues with it. And of course, there's never a perfect system, but I think that, you know, they complain about their ratings, though, and it's like, well, yeah, you only nominate movies that are, like, art house movies, so, I mean, Joe Sixpack's not going to be sitting there like, oh, yeah, I really like The Reader, I'm going to tune in tonight, see if Kate wins, you know?
It's kind of self-indulgent.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Well, you could see that on the telecast, I mean, they... you know, flogged out all these past winners and stuff like that to give out the acting awards. And, I mean, that was... I thought it was, you know, a nice touch, but at the same time, it's like basically them all slapping each other on the ass is all that really was. It's like, oh, let's trot these people out that haven't done anything in, like, a decade, but they won something 30 years ago or whatever.
But then you could have a movie like Crash or something, and it's like, oh, Academy Award winner on the box, and then Joe Sixpack rents it, and he's like, what? There's no talking lines in this movie.
Yep.
I want this shit. It's like, again, people don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, film geek people might care, but...
And at least Crash did okay box office-wise.
What about Gran Torino? It didn't get anything.
No.
But it was a popular movie. It still is.
Yeah, it's Clint's most successful movie ever, not adjusted for inflation. But, got nominated for absolutely squat. It's just kind of funny how that works. And it's amazing how many people I know that have seen that movie. Like, people at work, they'll get talking about movies, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, I went and saw Gran Torino this weekend. They're like, it was really good. You know, they don't talk about, you know, I went and saw Slumdog Millionaire or...
Well, would you say it was a better commentary on racism than Crash?
Yes. Easily. Because it didn't, like, club you over the head with it. It's
it
just
was
like,
pretty realistic. I mean,
yeah,
a character like him, maybe he was a little over the top, but he'd be racist. I mean,
oh yeah, well, this is normal. I thought it was a nice commentary. I thought, and
well, it was a nice commentary, you know, about Americana.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun word, but it's true, you know. You know, he was, you know, he didn't like, you know, his new neighbors, but then he realized that he could help the young neighbor boy, like, kind of become a good American and not be, like, a gangster and actually, like,
yeah,
try to help out and, you know, plant flowers and fix up his neighbor's porch. And
yeah,
it was kind of like when he gave him the Gran Torino at the end, it was kind of like he was passing on the American dream.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I saw it represent.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, that's a better message than, you know, people in L.A. swearing at each other.
Yep. Yeah, and it's...
And the scene where he sees that Toyota, his kids are driving, he's like...
I know, I thought that was great, because, yeah, it's like living in Michigan, and he used to work for Ford is, like, his character's background, and then his son apparently sells Toyotas and drives one, of course.
If you haven't seen the movie, there's a part after his wife dies, and his son pulls away, and I think, didn't he have to jumpstart their car or something, or what did he have to do?
I don't think so.
He was outside for some reason.
But yeah, this shot starts in, like, really tight on the Michigan plate, if I remember
yep.
right, and then the vehicle drives away, and you see it's a Toyota, and then you just hear Clint, like, going, and then under his breath, he makes some comment about, you know, how he could at least drive an American-made vehicle or sell American-made products and all that, and I especially appreciated that, and I think...
Yep.
But then it also
touched on... I mean, he pretty much says it. I mean, he does say it in the film. He's like, I have more in common with these people than my own family.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true. I mean, you know, you have, like, the Americans who are all, like, fat and squandering and, well, not fat, but, you know, they're kind of, like, squandering everything. The immigrants, at least, are trying. Well, you know, some of them, like the one family was.
Yeah.
You know, and Clint...
Yeah, they're actually working for something, which
he
could identify with. And
you know, and they're full of more life and stuff, and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I mean, it certainly has a lot of salty language in it,
yeah,
but it's funny, and you should check it out.
Well, and I think, yeah, like with, you know, these people that are next door to him, you know, they're like the ones chasing the American dream, whereas his family, like, expects the American dream.
Or exploits it. Like his granddaughter with his grand trio.
Yeah, she just,
like,
expects
when you
that
die,
she's
am I going
get
to
get it.
Your cool car? And he's like, yeah. Actually, doesn't he spit on the ground in front
yep.
of her?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, because the neighbor boy has to earn it.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily think that should have been nominated for Best Picture or anything, but it...
No,
it,
I mean,
it,
yeah, I thought Slumdog Millionaire was better,
yeah,
but
it probably had as much right as a couple
Reader.
Of the other nominees.
Yeah.
I know it got reviewed better than The Reader.
Yeah, a lot of stuff probably did. Maybe not Space Chimps.
Yeah,
what was with that
like,
when they had the
like
best animated feature montage and Space Chimps was on there quite a bit for some reason? How did that...
Yeah,
did
they
you
had,
notice that?
Well, they had that and a bunch of other, you know, ones that didn't get nominated. Like, I think, like, Madagascar was in there, too. But, yeah, it was interesting, even though the Oscar telecast was, you know, significantly shorter and seemed a lot lighter on its feet, there was still a lot of bloat in it.
Or, like, they'll come back and nothing happens and they go right back to commercials again. That happened quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, they had...
And there's only three commercials the whole time.
Yeah. Ugh.
What was it? Coke, Hyundai,
and JCPenney. Those were the three.
Right.
But they had, like, the montages of, you know, like, they had the action movie montage and, like, the comedy montage, and there was, like, a romance montage.
Yeah, what purpose did those serve?
And, I mean, the only thing I got out of that is it was basically Hollywood saying, well, we'll never nominate or award any movies in these categories, so here we'll at least give you, you know, a minute or two of spotlight, since these are the people...
Here's some clips
these
of
are
movies
the,
you actually probably saw.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, since these are the movies, you know, people in the audience actually saw,
mm-hmm,
we'll be like, yes, we do know these movies came out, but we still didn't
in fact,
nominate
we
them.
We made them, but there wasn't enough Holocaust in them.
Yes. Just got to make a Holocaust comedy. Actually, isn't that what Life is Beautiful was, kind of? I never saw it, but...
With Adrian Brody?
No, with Roberto Benigni. I think that's actually supposed to be kind of a comedy set against the Holocaust.
I am not familiar with that. That sounds like it would be a difficult proposition.
He was the guy, you know, who jumped up on the chairs when he won, and the crazy Italian guy.
Oh, it was funny when Ben Stiller dressed up like Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
It was, like, just standing around.
And then he just, like,
monitors.
Wandered back and was, like, watching the monitors and, like, just looking around. You could tell it was kind of scripted to a point, but I think when he just started wandering around, that wasn't, like, planned. Because, you know, Portman was kind of going along with it, and then
laugh.
She started laughing.
Well, you could tell, like, Hugh Jackman, during some of the musical numbers, was almost starting to laugh.
Yeah.
But that was fun.
Yeah, he looked like he was having a good time.
Okay, well, so I guess we just kind of discussed the Oscars. There was really no point to that whole thing, but we talked about it.
Yes.
So yeah, I guess, well, okay, so if like successful big movies come out, they should think about nominating them more like Dark Knight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying nominate a Pirates of the Caribbean movie because none of those is particularly amazing. But, I mean, something like The Dark Knight that, yeah, sure, it had some flaws, but overall it's a pretty damn well-made movie.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would have been upset if it would have won Best Picture, but why not nominate it? I mean, again, like 30 years ago, Star Wars was nominated, Raiders of the Lost Ark was nominated, E.T. was nominated. None of them won, but they were nominated.
They were all there, yeah. So I think that, you know, they complain about their viewership, and I can pretty much guarantee you if Dark Knight would have been up for, you know, like... picture and director, and they would have really touted that.
Or even like WALL-E, I mean, it made far more than any of the other nominees.
Yeah. I mean, Dark Knight was just such a huge phenomenon that it's like, I think if that would have got more nominations,
why not just
they probably
would have
got another 10, 15 million viewers, probably.
People seem pissed that The Reader was nominated. Why not just... They do all this other political shit within their organization. Why not just bump that off and throw in Dark Knight? I mean, who cares? I mean, you know, if you can give Nicole Kidman an Oscar for The Hours because you didn't give her one for Moulin Rouge, which is exactly what happened, why not? Why not just switch it up to get more viewers? I mean, integrity my ass. Although I will admit that, you know, Heath Ledger deserved it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just the fact that he died just assured that he would win, but he actually played a weird character. You know, he wasn't like... you know, handicapped or whatnot. He just was a wacko, and it was cool.
Well, and he embodied the character, too. I mean, sure, there's makeup there and everything, but it's like...
But you couldn't even see him.
It's
underneath.
Really hard to tell that's Heath Ledger, you know, like, if you don't know it's him.
Or like with Brad Pitt, I'm sure no matter how much old man makeup they put on him, he's still a douchebag.
Yes.
So, you know. Okay, well, for our last 9 minutes, shall we discuss food?
Sure.
Since people seem to like it when we discuss food...
I guess.
Let's see. Well, what did you think of those crappy $1 TV dinners they had at Miller's?
Those, what the hell were those, banquet dinners, weren't they, or something like that?
Yeah.
They weren't very good. Well, I guess they don't taste that terrible. I've only had one of them, but they're definitely not filling.
That's true. You'd be better off spending $1 on a candy bar.
Yes, or a double cheeseburger at McDonald's.
Yes. I was kind of impressed, though. One of them had a brownie, and I'm like, oh, come on. And when you look at it, it's, you know, you've got the little plastic tray that the food is in, and the brownie area is just like, looks like there's like some brownie juice in there. But it actually inflates into a brownie, and you can actually pull it out.
Did it taste like ass?
You know, actually, what it reminded me of, that Army food, the MREs that they have. It kind of reminded me of something from that.
Oh, okay.
Which, well, as you know, I like crappy food, so it was an interesting taste. Oh, man, the worst one. I don't know if anyone that listens to this podcast has ever eaten an MRE or is in the Army, but the egg omelet is the worst. It's like this egg, quote-unquote, flavored sponge.
Nice. This egg-flavored abortion.
Those are fun. I used to love to eat those. Well, have you had any good food experiences lately?
I don't know. What was it? couple months ago, I went to my friend Josh's, and him and his buddies, they're all into this, like, they're really into cooking, and they actually are doing kind of their own Iron Chef type thing, or they have, like, their own cooking competition where, like, once a month they have some sort of theme that's decided on at the previous month's competition. So it'll be, like, Italian food or whatever. I think that's what the next one is. But then everybody has to prepare some sort of Italian dish. They bring it, or they make it there, and then everybody, like, partakes in it, and you vote on it, and,
So you were, like, a spectator, or
yeah,
did you get in there?
No, he just was like, hey, you want to come down for this? And I was like, sure, and so I just partook, but I actually ate, like, everything they had there, and there was some weird shit, but I had, what was it, a caramel, what was it, it's called, like, foie gras, it was, like, goose liver on a caramelized pear.
That's interesting.
I won't exactly say it was good, and I didn't know what I was eating when I ate it, but I did it. And goose liver's really slimy, by the way. But then a guy made, like, fennel soup, and that's actually what won, which everybody was just, like, shocked that, like, a soup won or whatever. It was, like, the one thing that everybody liked, and it was, like, really goddamn good, and he threw bacon bits on it. It was a good time, but... yeah, there was all kinds of interesting foods there, and it's a pretty good time.
Do you ever find that you can never think of any new foods to eat? I have that problem, as you probably have noticed.
Yes. Yeah, it's... I don't know, like, I... for some reason in my life, I had never had chicken parmesan until a few months ago, and I had that, and that was really good.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I think the key is just to go, like, I actually like Italian food, so I'd... just need to go to, like, Biagi's or something and look at their menu and
have
be like...
Have you ever been to Avanti's? In
town? Oh, yeah, I've been there a bunch of times. But,
it's kind of expensive.
Yeah, and they charge you for soda refills. Pricks.
Yeah, that place sucks. It's nice inside, though. Well, the bar side looks cool. The other side looks a little mundane, but...
yeah. But, like, you know, go to Biagi's. You know, if there's some particular type of... food that you generally enjoy, then just go to that place and pick something off the menu. So that's just what I kind of need to do is when I go to a Italian food type place, try to do something different.
Have you ever eaten an oyster?
No.
I haven't either.
I don't think I could do that.
It's like this crappy looking shell, and then you're supposed to slurp it out?
Yeah, it's like I had a tough enough time wolfing that goose liver down.
When I was in your favorite state, Hawaii... we got a bucket of oysters, and I'm like, I'm not going to eat this. The end. Then I drank beer.
That's like I've never had shrimp either.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if I could get behind that.
I used to like shrimp, but then my first job, I worked as a dishwasher / cook or whatever. This was like when I was 18. And on New Year's, we would have to, or I would have to clean the shrimp. Or devein them, as it were. And it's not a vein, it's their digestive tract.
Yes.
So, I'm sure you've heard this story before, but you know, like, people on the podcast probably haven't. Anyway, if you have, like, this huge basket of, by a basket, I mean a huge bucket of shrimp, and I don't know how many pounds it was, like 50 or 60 pounds at once, and you can't eat it after that.
Yeah.
It's not even the fact that you realize that those, like, the shit veins, and you don't never really get it all out. People eat it anyway. It's not even really that, just like the smell of it. Just,
yeah.
It's like, it just ruins it for you. I used to like it. yeah. Oh, you know what's really good? You know those cookies where they're like, it's like a peanut butter cookie, and then there's like that little Hershey's Kiss in the middle?
Oh, yeah. Those
can
be
those
all
are
right.
Good.
Can't remember what those are called. They always show up like at Christmas time, though. Somebody always makes them.
It is inevitable.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. But, yeah, the... what was it? Because, yeah, the one I went to for that cooking competition thing, it was, like, French food. And then the next one they did was, like, Indian food. And then now the next one's Italian. I didn't go to the Indian food one. But it's kind of interesting. I guess they're actually getting some notoriety. Like, he's... been interviewed by, like, a TV station in Milwaukee about it, because he lives down by Milwaukee, and...
maybe they can get a thing going, like, make a... you know, get more people in on it.
And maybe, you know, somehow make it, like, a public access, you know, cooking show or something. Who knows?
Wait, you said Milwaukee?
Yeah.
When I was at the thing last week, they actually had one corner of the stage, they had a cooking show set.
Oh, really?
And I asked about it, and they were like, yeah, we were trying to get a cooking show going, so.
Oh. Yeah, I should let them know about that.
That was at Milwaukee Public Television on the MATC campus.
Nice. See, I know they've been, like, there's some woman that started a thing called, like, Iron Cupcake in Milwaukee. I guess it just started out as, like, this little thing in Milwaukee, and now it's, like, cities all over the country are doing, like, Iron Cupcake competitions and all that, and so my friend Josh, he got involved with that, and then somewhere along the way, he just had the idea, well, you know, hey, me and a bunch of my friends, we all like cooking and crap, let's just do our own, you know, Iron Chef type cooking competition.
You know, maybe they could have a show where guys cook, because it's always women on the television, except for, like, that one guy, and he's with his wife. Okay, there's Alton Brown. Okay, but the vast majority of them are women.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. Like, when I went to that, it was, you know, probably 85, 90% of the people doing the cooking were guys.
And were the women in the other room playing video games?
not quite.
It wasn't quite a reversal?
They were playing, like, a board game and drinking, I think. But yeah, it was like, what was it? Josh made something, and then Aaron made some sort of fish thing, which was pretty good. Yeah, I mean, there were, like, I'm trying to think how many, there were probably, like, 10 or so, 10 to 12 dishes made, and I'm trying to think, it seems like, was only, like, one of them made by a woman, or no, there were two made by women, but they're both dessert-type things, and then another woman, she always just brings some sort of,
potato
drink,
chips?
No, a drink that for like from that country or whatever. So she'll always come up with, you know, like a French alcoholic drink or an Italian one, you know, this next time. And she'll buy a bunch of booze and bring it. But yeah, so it was, yeah, probably, you know, 9, 10 of them were made by guys and then just a couple by women. But yeah, that would be a different twist on it. That's what I thought was just funny when I went there. All the women are just sitting in the other room and the guys are all in the kitchen, you know.
That must have been quite
concocting
the thing to see.
All this stuff. Yeah, it was pretty fun. And they, like, really get into it, too. I mean, it's like, you know, they're all having fun and stuff, but it's, you know, the one guy's sitting there and the fish he got, it wasn't, like, deboned or whatever. And
oh, no.
Yeah, so he was like, he got some pliers out in the garage or whatever, and so he's, like, sitting there, you know, pulling the freaking little bones out with pliers.
Oh,
and
I hate little bones.
Yeah, so, I don't know, it was fun. It's a good time.
Cool.
Gives you a chance, I guess, to partake in some different foods you otherwise normally wouldn't.
Yeah, besides,
if you're willing,
like, tacos
to take a bullet.
Pizzas.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, that was our podcast. So, yeah, Lost and Damned is probably worth $20. Navajo Island and Operation Anchorage, Fallout, or whatever it's called, is kind of short. And food is cool. And the Oscars were not very surprising.
Yes, but fairly fun.
So, yeah, we talked about doing a video podcast. But we might wait until the weather gets a little warmer.
Yes.
But it will be one hell of a video podcast. Even better than the time we ran over a Wii, although that was pretty awesome. But I think we can do better. So probably be a little shorter than an hour, maybe like half an hour, just because it's easier to edit. But yeah, if you have any things you'd like to see us do, I don't know, email me or post below. All right, well, I guess we'll see you next time.
Adios.